Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we want to welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. It's so good to see so many of you here, and we want to welcome all of you who are here from out of town, in town for the holidays, for family and friends. Welcome to North Star Church. We're really, really thankful that you're here. This is a special evening as well. First Christmas began with the angels announcing to the shepherds that a Savior had been born. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the angels declared to the shepherd, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And this evening, our grandson, Shepherd, is here with us. He'll be 2 months old at the end of this month. And this is the first sermon that he will have to endure for me over probably a lifetime. But it's kind of special. Christmas Eve, I'm able to tell Shepherd, this Shepherd, that our God sent his son and his good news of great joy that will be for all people. So I'll get to spend a lifetime telling this Shepherd that. And I hope that we all will spend a lifetime remembering that when the shepherds encountered Jesus on that first Christmas, they could not help but tell everyone else what they had encountered. And so it's our hope and our prayer that as the next few moments, as we look at some scriptures together, that you'll be reminded not just of the significance and the wonder and the joy of the gift of the Savior for all humanity, but that you will be inhabited with courage and an infectious joy to share with your family and friends, not just this Christmas, but every day as your Christmas Christians for the rest of your lives. There's a great book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. This is what J.I. Packer says about Christmas in it. He says, "It is here, the thing that happened at the first Christmas, that the profoundest and most unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation lie, that the Word became flesh. God became man, the divine Son became a Jew, the Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. And there was no illusion or deception in this. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality." The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as is this truth of the incarnation. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel appears. He's instructing Joseph to marry Mary. And as he's communicating to Joseph the wonder of the Messiah coming in the form of their son to be born, he says, "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's probably one of the most significant things that we must remember at Christmas, is Christ came, Jesus came to save us from our sins. Christmas, you see, is wrapped up in the wonder of salvation. There's no Christmas without salvation, and there's no salvation without Christmas. Jesus was born to deliver us from the power of sin and the power of death. So often we get caught up in Christmas time, and we have to remind ourselves consistently as followers of Jesus that Jesus didn't come just to give us a warm, fuzzy holiday. He didn't come and look around and nod and say, "Wow, you guys have got this. Way to go. Enjoy yourselves. I'll be back later." Jesus came to save us from a desperate heart condition and from a broken world. He saw our brokenness, He saw the groaning of creation under the curse of sin, and he saw our inability to save ourselves, and so God sent his son to save us. Earlier this year, I was writing a journal entry. It's one thing that I do just to kind of help process scripture I read, and I was reflecting on, for me, what does it mean to be saved? Now, just thinking of words that, for me, for Jeff, these are words that I feel like describe my salvation. So I wrote these words: free, released, unburdened, lighthearted, bold, empowered, confident, humbled, awed, amazed, joyful, hopeful, grateful, eager to be a blessing, wise, shrewd, secure. And then here are a few things that I don't always feel, but because of the reality of what Jesus came to do, because the manger led to a cross, these are words that are true about who I am in relationship with God, even though I may not always feel them. Right with God, holy, powerful. You see, being saved means being delivered from the penalty of sin and death. And being saved also means seeing our vision. There's a beloved hymn, Amazing Grace, written by John Newton. And one of the lines in this hymn is, I once was lost, but now I see. You see, sight is a good condition for salvation. When we're saved, we suddenly see. Everything becomes clearer. Everything becomes truer. Everything becomes understandable because of who Christ is. You see, in our world, real blindness, like being physically blind, it's a real thing, but it's actually pretty rare in the human population. Well, he would say that the normal status of a human is being able to see. But spiritual blindness, on the other hand, is the most common default of humanity. We are all born spiritually blind. In fact, the prophets of old recorded that it is a dire circumstance that's greater than individual occasional blindness. And the prophets of old called the spiritual blindness, they called it darkness. And darkness of the sort that prevented everyone from seeing. In Psalm 82, verse 5, the psalmist says, they do not know or understand, they wander in darkness. And then the New Testament would describe the reality that in Colossians 1:13, Satan's realm is called the domain of darkness. And in 2 Corinthians 4, we're told that Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, because he wants to keep humanity in darkness, because everyone is blind in complete darkness. And yet here on Christmas Eve, we celebrate the coming of the light. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. And it's no coincidence that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, we're told that Jesus left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was written through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the road by the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And for those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And it's profound that as we look at the beginning of each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we would expect to see the Christmas story. But we don't see it in all of the Gospels in the same way. In Matthew, it begins by recording the angel's appearance to an old couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth as John the Baptist's birth is pronounced. Mark's gospel skips Christmas completely. How dare he? And he begins with John the Baptist baptizing in the wilderness. Luke's gospel begins with the words that we all know and love so well, and especially when it says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. But John's gospel tells the Christmas story, and he describes it in terms of darkness and light. Listen to the Christmas story in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So this Christmas, on Christmas Eve, we would encourage one another to come out of darkness and step into the light. To come out of lostness, we would encourage one another to remember our love relationship with Jesus Christ and esteem it above everything else. And for those whom you know who have not yet become Christians, we would encourage you to be like the shepherds, to go and tell them that good news of a great joy has been given for all peoples. You see, at Christmas, there's no greater time than to repent of our sins and to fall upon the love and the mercy of a God who loved us so much that He created Christmas. He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came to light the way. Light is a big deal at Christmas. Perhaps that's why we light trees and we light our homes, and you see lights everywhere. But let us remember that in John chapter 12, verse 46, the most significant light is Jesus, where Jesus says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. And in Colossians 1:13, it tells us that Jesus has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. And in 2 Corinthians 4:6, we're told that God said, let light shine out of darkness. And He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And in John 3:19, Jesus said, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. We're reminded of Matthew 1:21, where it says, the Son of God was born to save His people from their sins. He's come to save us. And there's no greater reminder for us on Christmas Eve of this God of salvation. This God who loves you so much that He offers anyone who would believe in Him and trust in Him eternal life. In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, we're told, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how then can they call on Him that they have not believed in? You see, Jesus was born, He was given to us, but it requires a response from every single person. We don't just nod our heads and say, yes, I understand God sent His Son, but it requires a heart response. It requires a heart response of faith, of surrender. It requires a mind response of repentance, of choosing to turn from your sin and choosing to turn to Christ and placing all of your faith upon Him. Christ came to save us from our sins. The birth of Jesus is so real. And just as Sean preached last week, the shepherds didn't just hear, but they responded. They went to see Jesus, and they went and told everyone else what they had seen and what they'd heard. I'd like to ask the question this evening, as we prepare to worship again, and I invite the worship team to come back up to begin to close us in our service, I'd like to ask the question this evening, have you been saved? In a crowd like this, I assume so many of you, the majority of us, have trusted Christ as our Savior, and Christmas means so very much to us. But perhaps you're here, and you're not yet a believer. And we would encourage you and urge you and implore you to please receive Christ by faith this Christmas. You're probably here with a family member or friend who is a Christian. They will be more than happy to tell you tonight and this week all that it means to follow and trust in Christ. But if you need help from a minister or someone on our staff, I'd love to visit with you. I'd love to talk with you about that. You can always text me and say, hey, I'm interested in becoming a Christian. It's 998-JEFF. And I know that's cheesy, but it works for me. 540-998-JEFF. You can email me at jeff@northstarfamily.org. You can email any of our staff. Just because our offices are closed, if any of you here would say, I want to know Jesus, I want to become a Christian, we're on call all the time to help you step into the Christmas existence. God loves you, and He sent His Son for you. Let me pray for us.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.